Thursday, I walked into Sean's office and I said to him, you know what? I think I'm just gonna let them read it, tell them to think about it, tell them they're blessed, and go home. This scripture is not really complicated, is it? And I bet if you sit at home and you read it two or three times, really paying attention, you will see the repetition of mine, yours, yours, mine, given, take, you know, protection, sanctification, a little bit of a repeat of words like those, and it will be a blessing to you. But we are a church, and my responsibility is to preach. So I think the easiest way to just stay true to this text is just to unpack it, very similar to what Sean did last week. So chapter 17, as Sean said, is a prayer. And this prayer is for all of us. It was for the disciples, but it's also for the church. But to understand this prayer even more, we have to understand that Jesus presents himself here as a servant. And servanthood in Jesus' time, and even in Abram's time, and servanthood today is two different things. So let me explain servanthood. Servanthood was where a very wealthy, or a master, well, if you had a servant, you were considered wealthy, where a master would send out a servant on his business. The servant was obligated, commanded, to represent his master exactly as his master is, so that when he's doing business, the people who see the servant actually will see the master. They will forget that this is a servant standing in front of me, but they will hear the words and see the actions of a master. So the servant could only do and say what he was commanded to do and say. That would bring honor, and honor was a very important thing in the New Testament, honor and shame. That would bring honor to his master. If he did anything by adding to the command or the actions that was not what his master commanded him, he would bring shame. So, this servant went. The servant's name is Jesus. He went on a mission, and he was almost at the completion of this mission. And so now we see that he is reporting back to his father, his master. And in his reporting back, and this is what servants would do, they would send a message ahead before they return, saying, I have done everything you commanded me to do. And they would verbatim, word for words, exactly quote back the words which the master told them. This is what you should say. So that the master could be at ease and know, oh, everything was done as I commanded. He even remembers it now. And then the servant would say, this is how your commandments was received. This is what happened. And then he will lay out the response and the actions that followed. After he has done this, he is allowed, if he was entrusted with that, to actually give a recommendation and even ask for something on behalf of the people. This is my recommendation, Lord. This is what I've done for your land, for your people, and this is what I see is also needed from you. Would you be so kind and do this for your people, for your land? And don't worry, I am coming back. I'll see you soon. Kind regards, your servant. And Jesus is doing the same in chapter 17. But Jesus is not the only example of servanthood we see in the Bible. He's the perfect example, but he's not the only example. There was a prince in Egypt. He had a speech impediment. He killed a man and ran away. He was called by a Lord, the King of Kings. He was called to be a servant, to go out and say, "Let my people free." He was called to listen and to bring the law as this Lord wanted for his people. He was called to show who God is. And that man's name was Moses. He had his mistakes. He had his disabilities. But nonetheless, this is a beautiful example of how God calls us to be his servants. But Jesus is the ultimate example of servanthood. Because the ultimate sign of a good servant is obedience. And Jesus was obedient up to the point of death. But we too are invited to be servants, to portray who our master is. And it's not difficult. If you know your master, really know him, you can show other people through your words and your actions who he is. And how do you find out who your master is? You read his word, not other people's books about him. That's important too. But first and foremost, you learn to love the Bible, because that is how you will find out the character, the real DNA of your master. And so, Jesus is a servant here. And yes, his servanthood led to the cross. But that is not all. In chapter 6 to 19, chapter 17, verses 6 to 19, we see that Jesus is portrayed as the high priest. He actually goes and he prays on our behalf. For me, when I listened to this over and over again, I thought of it being, Jesus is really leading us into the temple. We were in the outer courts, and we're getting closer and closer and closer to the altar. And what does a priest do? He prays. He prays on behalf of his people, and then the sacrifice is made. We are truly blessed, because prayer in Jesus' time was different than it is today. Our culture has allowed for us to be more quiet in prayer. We fold our hands, we close our eyes. And I have to say, even when we're by ourselves, we tend to pray in our minds, not out loud. Sometimes, I do sometimes, but not always. In Jesus' time, prayer was very different. He would pray out loud. You would raise your arms up to heaven, and you would face Jerusalem and the temple from wherever you are. And if you're really can do that, you would go to the temple if you lived in Jerusalem, and you would go and pray there. And so Jesus' disciples could listen to every word Jesus said, even if he went away in solitude. And someone who was in the vicinity could most probably hear him pray. But if he was totally isolated, I don't think there would be people. But so here we have the disciples, and they heard Jesus pray. And this text says very beautifully that he is praying this right now so that they can receive the full measure of his joy. There was joy in living out the commands of God, of being sanctified. Sean just said in his prayer, and I will never forget this. It's like renovation. That is, for me, that's a little bit of sanctification. It's this process. God doesn't go and he breaks us down and he throws everything away and he starts from the bottom up. He takes who we are. And he does throw away the stuff that is not of him. But who we really are, he builds us up so that we can be a building, something of use to him. That's a beautiful renovation. But Jesus' walk on earth was also a process, a sanctification process, where God was moving and working through Jesus so that we could see the Father up to the point of sacrifice. And so in us, in our walk, God is working in and through us up to the point where he comes, he gathers us up, and we will be with him. We are following the leader. We literally are. Whether or not we take it seriously or not, but I recommend you do, because you're sitting in church, which means that you are serious about Jesus. Jesus prays. What does he pray about? He tells God that he has fulfilled the task. He has shown who God is to everyone. We have received his words, and we believe that he truly is from God. He prays for us, not for this world. He prays that we will be protected by God's name, because Jesus has protected us by that name, but now he will go up to be with the Father, and we will be on earth, not from this earth, but on earth. And what does that mean, that protection in the Father's name, of the Father's name? I thought about it yesterday, and I thought the simplest way I could ever explain this would just be thinking about a child. A lot of you are parents, and so you are very familiar with a little one trying to tie a shoe or put on a shirt and struggling and calling out, "Mom, Dad, will you help me?" See, they know that crying out, there is power in that name. Because mom or dad represents someone who will help. Someone who will assist where it is needed. Someone who has your best interest at heart. Who cares for you. And who will guide you. And as you grow and you get older, that guidance and that care will be more for a mature child, but it will never, ever go away. As you make important decisions, your parents are there to counsel and guide you, to show you that you are a wonderful person. And in the same way, Jesus is saying, God, will you be there for them to keep them safe? Even in the little things, to tie up shoelaces. And even in the big things, I'm really struggling with this. Will you help me? And then we will be transformed through God's word. We will. But we have to turn to it. We believe in God, and therefore we are sent out into this world with the same mission, to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ, of salvation. Jesus got on the altar for us. And as we're approaching Easter, I thank God that Jesus' prayer for us was recorded. Because there are times that I need to hear that I was chosen. I am protected from this world, from Satan. I am sanctified. And there will be unity, because God wants it. Unity in Christ. As Christ is one with the Father, we will be one. And so I'm actually going to ask Sean to read this scripture for us again. I hope you understand it a little better now. As you listen, hear how he says in the very first verse, I have revealed you to these people. Listen to how what Jesus says our reaction was. They accepted me. They believed that what I said to them was truth and that I came from you. Hear how Jesus says, I'm praying for them. And hear how he's also asking some things from God. Protection, sanctification. We are following our leader. So please listen attentively as he reads.
I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may be the full measure of my joy within them. So that they may have the full measure of joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
Thank you. And so now, let's just pray. I will lead us in prayer, but let's all of us just, in a way, imagine ourselves sitting there, hearing Jesus interceding for us, being the high priest. We can look back and know that he's walking towards the cross. We can say thank you for so many things, but we are also allowed to ask for assistance. There is power in his name. We are all sanctified. It is a wonderful process. Yes, painful sometimes, but wonderful because it gives glory to God. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, thank you so much that you came in the way you did. You did not fulfill the expectations of this world. Instead, you came as a servant. You did not do what people wanted you to do. You did exactly as you were commanded by your Father. You did reveal him to us, and for that we are so thankful. You revealed to us that God wants to be close to his creation, to his chosen people. We are so blessed by that. We receive it, and we give honor to you. Thank you that you are our intercessor. Not just in that one prayer, but even now, you are with the Father praying for us. Lord, my prayer for this congregation is that they will love your word. Love it with all their hearts. Give them a hunger and a thirst for the truth. You are truth. May they find true rest in you. Lord, would you protect us from all the temptations, all the selfishness, and all the confusion that this world has to offer. Instead, unite us as Christians. Unite us in you, in Christ. Thank you that we are, but thank you that we know that this is also a process called sanctification. Thank you, Lord, that you are never far away. I pray that we will really get to know you, spend time with you, so that when we speak, we say your words, and that there will be something of God shown in our actions. We love you for what you have done for us. And we commit ourselves anew to you today. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray all of this. Amen.